views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Debbie Pokornik, host of Vibrant Powerful Moms, a podcast focused on helping you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I have a wonderful guest on the line with me named Norma Hollis. Norma is an advocate for children's spirituality. Doesn't that sound amazing? She's a former director of early childhood programs and now is an authenticity expert. In this role, she uses her knowledge and experiences to help parents live an authentic life and raise authentic children. The secret lies in recognizing, developing, and using natural gifts and talents, which Norma refers to as wisdom gifts. Norma, welcome to the VPM community.
Debbie, thank you so much for having me. I love talking with moms about their children and being authentic in children's spirituality. So thank you for the opportunity to share.
Oh, happy to have you here. And I just need to tell our audience that Norma and I met because we're both connected to a group called Evolutionary Business Council. And that's this incredible group of people dedicated to making a positive difference in the world and especially in people's lives. And so when Norma and I were chatting, she mentioned that she speaks on authenticity and how that applies to communication, leadership, and raising children. In fact, one of her areas of focus is authentic children. And as soon as she said that, I was so intrigued and I immediately knew that I had to have her join us as a guest so that she could share some of that information with you. So Norma, is there anything that you'd like to say to set the stage around raising authentic children? Or do you feel like everything will just kind of unveil itself in our conversation?
Well, I do definitely feel that it will unveil itself as we talk, but I just wanted, I guess in terms of setting the stage, most of us, well, you know, I speak a lot and I travel the country and speak, and I frequently ask the question if people are happy with the world the way it is today. And they laugh, okay? Says nobody's really happy with this, the deal we're living in. And to make a change in our society, parents have that power by helping their children be authentic. And that gives them the power to make a difference in the world as they continue where we left off.
Nice. Very nice. So with that said, then, let's just dive right in here. So
all right.
The world is changing, right? It's
yes.
Changing at such a quick pace.
So fast.
Yeah. And so things are very different. I mean, for you and I, when we were babes, it's very different from, say, my kids that are now in their early 20s. That's even different from kids nowadays being born.
Yes.
So are children changing too?
Well, you know, the reality is that children are changing. There are a new breed of children coming on the planet. They've been recognized, I guess, in the early 80s or mid 80s is when they start talking about crystal children and indigo children.
Right.
But it's even more than that. It's almost as if our Creator is changing the human structure so that we can be more intuitive and be more connected to our source. So a lot of children being born now, you can check. Well, first of all, let me just say that we know Homo sapiens. That's who we are as human beings. And a lot of children coming in are the evolution of Homo sapiens to what they call Homo luminous. So these children have a deeper ability to connect on a spiritual plane. You can recognize some of these children because if you look at them from a profile, from a side view, their foreheads extend beyond their nose. most of us, our foreheads are kind of flat and our noses stick out beyond our forehead. But these children have a whole different facial structure, skull structure that's different. And their foreheads extend beyond. And then those who were really loved deeply or who had other things that contributed to their growth, and as an early child, their temples also are larger. So years ago, we used to watch the alien pictures, you know, and they showed these mm-hmm. ideas of alien people who had these big foreheads. Well, I don't know how they knew that, but these children are not aliens, but they are coming to the planet, not all of them, but many of them, with this different structure in terms of how their head is formed.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm wishing I had a mirror right here at my desk.
Right.
Quickly do a profile, but I'm pretty sure that my forehead is right back there.
Yeah, it's probably flat. Yeah, yeah. It's not. There's a few people. I have one friend who's in her, she's just about 50 now, and she has that formation. But you'll see more and more children, and sometimes I'm out and I'll recognize one of them. I'll tell their parent, your child is very spiritual, and they think I'm crazy, but whatever. Yeah. But I like sharing that.
That's so amazing to me. And, you know, the whole idea that they're physically changing, not yeah. just spiritually changing or coming into this world more tuned in, right?
Yes.
The fact
yes.
that these actual physical changes, that's fascinating.
That's evidence, yes. Isn't that fascinating? It's just, and they've been recognizing these. I learned about this maybe 20 years ago. And yeah. so there's more and more children now being born that you can recognize. So just look around and you'll see yeah. some of them. You'll see.
I'm going to start looking far more carefully.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So what is, like, as children come into the world, you mentioned to me before, not to our listeners, about them having this innate connection. And so
yes.
what is that?
Well, you know, I look at it like this. When children first come into the world. Well, let me back up a minute.
Okay.
We talk a lot in society about having purpose, about being here for a reason. Okay. And many of us believe that, especially those of us who are more thought leaders and looking at making a difference in the world. So the question then becomes, where does the purpose come from? Where does the idea of purpose? Where does the assignment, where is that, when is that given to you? So when you think about young children, when they come to the planet, when they first start to speak, or first a baby, when a baby smiles and laughs and doesn't even know anything about the language or anything, what do you think is going on in their head? So we can't tell what it is, but perhaps they're remembering what their assignment was. When children start speaking around the age of 2, then oftentimes they will say things that appear so wacky to parents who are not accustomed to that type of language. They will talk about where they came from, when they were here before, what their purpose is, all kinds of things they may say because that's what they remember. That's what they can talk about, what they remember before they came. And I like to encourage parents that between the ages of 2 and 4 to keep a journal of whatever their child says. Because during that time, children will frequently talk about their assignment or what God told them to do or why they're here. And oftentimes that gets poo-pooed by the adults in their life. But if you think about the fact that at 2, when they can first start talking, they talk about what they know, and that's what they know. And then when they get to be around the age of 4, they start learning how to read, which takes them into their left brain, which takes them away from that innate knowledge that they were born with. Some children keep it, but so many of us don't. And we move into the institutions and the way society wants us to think and wants us to behave.
Right.
But there's some that remember that. So the advice here is to keep a journal between 2 and 4, particularly before they get so ingrained in the reading and lose sight of the intuitive side that they have. And then when they get to be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and they're looking at what their career might be as an adult, then remind them of what they said as a child, because that has some bearing of the authentic person that they were born to be.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You see
why I love talking about this stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My youngest sang from a very young age. He just loved to sing.
Yes.
And he made up his own songs. And some of them were very melancholy. And they'd be talking about people suffering and stuff that he had no connection to. We don't watch the news. The kids didn't see the news, you know. And yet he had this connection, and he would sing about it. And it wasn't that he was upset about it or complaining about it. He was just sharing this song. It was like it was coming from memory, and that he was sharing it out there. And oh my gosh, I wish I could go back and record some of it and write some of it down. But I didn't know this then. And I just thought, isn't that interesting? Is my child depressed?
Well, you know, there's a book out that really helped get me started on this path to some extent. It's called Children's Past Lives by a lady named Carol Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N. Okay. Now, it was probably out maybe 20 years ago. I don't know. It's been a while. But she talks about she had a daughter, and she couldn't get the daughter past some trauma. And the daughter had trauma regarding the mother, and she could not resolve it. And she ended up giving the child hypnosis. And in that, they found out that the child in a past life, for those that believe in past lives, the child had died in a fire and blamed the mother for not saving her. Uh-huh. And once they got that information, they were able to do the proper therapy to bring that child to resolution and live this life. And in the process of learning this, Carol Bowman did all this research and found out there's a doctor, Dr. Ian Stevenson, who did a lot of research also. And they had evidence. They would have children, particularly in India, who would be born and would say, well, when I was here before, this is where I lived, this is how I died. And they would take that child to that location, and they would meet people who were in their lives in the past. So it opened the doors to a lot of deeper understanding of things we don't really know much about. But this helped to enter me into children's spirituality and learning more about this interesting topic.
Oh, amazing. Amazing, amazing. Love hearing stuff like that, because it's so confirming and validating for us. And like you say, there's certainly people that don't believe in that, and that's absolutely fine for them to not believe in it. But for someone like me, it's like, that's more information. And I appear to be an information junkie when it comes to things like that.
That's why we get along. We're both information junkies, especially on things of that nature, because we know so much we don't know.
Right.
And we don't even know what we don't know. And we're institutionalized so early to believe one way of thinking, tangible, but there's so much more.
Yes, absolutely. So let's move on and talk about what you call wisdom gifts.
Yeah, well, the wisdom gifts, I take this lead from Dr. Howard Gardner, who about 40 years ago recognized what he called the multiple gifts of intelligence that I refer to as wisdom gifts. So what he was doing was helping teachers look at different ways that children learn, because there's so much that's done rotely in terms of how you learn. You memorize and regurgitate, as opposed to doing maybe something, learning through music, like your son, you said, sang. So he learned through music in many ways.
Right.
So in other words, these wisdom gifts represent how you learn, how you gain wisdom, and how you share wisdom. And there's 9 of them. And what I recommend to parents particularly is to recognize your children's wisdom gifts early. They show them to you very easily when they're very young, before we start telling them not to be this and not to do this. So when you listen to those, you have a sense of what was poured into them. I call it the legacy that they received when they were born, in terms of the areas that in life of how they can express themselves with greatest ease. So those 9 areas, the first one is verbal. And these are people, let me also mention that it's also helpful for parents to recognize their gifts, because the happiest parents are the ones who use their gifts most frequently. If you can't use them in your work environment, at least you're doing something in your leisure time that enables your gifts to show, your wisdom gifts to show.
Right.
So verbal would be the first one. And verbal has to do with oral, written, spoken, different ways of using words, people who like words. Children that are very talkative, and parents tell them, don't talk so much. Well, that might be their gift. So you help them to develop that gift. Second is visual. Visual are people who learn through seeing. These are your artists. These people love color, and they love to design. They also have good spatial orientation. There's logical.
For sure not me. Spatial orientation. Nope, not me at all.
What I suggest to people to do is see if you can find what would be your top 3.
Yes. Okay.
And ask yourself if you're using them in the world. So the next one I'll mention is mathematical, logical. And that's not just dealing with numbers. It's also the ability to see the big picture. So they're able to see patterns in things. They can recognize patterns easily. There's kinesthetic, people who learn by moving. These are your dancers, your sports people. Some of these children are referred to as ADD, attention deficit disorder, or hyperactive. And really, they just need to express themselves through movement, and they're much happier.
Right. Because they can't sit still in school, for example. They need to move around in order to be learning.
Problem child. yes. Because the society says you got to sit, but these children don't learn that way. Right. Then there's, like your son, there's musical. Those who resonate with music very easily, they see patterns too, because in music, you know, in the piano, you've got the octave of eight keys, and you have different patterns that are there. So that's another one that's very easy to recognize. Another one is nature, people who learn by being outdoors. These are your landscapers, your people who just like to be on the beach, swimming, whatever. These people also see patterns well, because you think about nature, there is a pattern when you throw a pebble into the ocean. There's patterns in leaves and in trees, and all that is connected. There's interpersonal, people who learn by being around other people. You know, I raised my niece, and she had real trouble with math. And she was a very social person, and I suggested to her, well, pick your friends who are good at math, and that'll help you be good at math. And sure enough, that worked. Nice. So you learn how to use these wisdom gifts in a wise way. You can help your children in more ways than you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Then there's intrapersonal, people who learn by going inside. These are your more introverts, sometimes your monks and ministers and people who are generally highly spiritual. They just are able to connect from the inside. And then the ninth one is one that is not as well recognized as the others, but is becoming more accepted as time goes on. And that's the wisdom gift of existential. And these are also people who are able to go inside deeply, but they also have that connection with the universe. Maybe they talk to animals. Maybe they have an energy field, energy pattern that's unusual. But they are existential in that they have an understanding deeper of the universe and how life works more than many other people. So those are the nine wisdom gifts.
Fascinating. You know, I can easily see myself as the verbal, even though I've always been more of an introvert, and people have often said, you can't be an introvert. You're a speaker. You're a presenter. You're always getting up in front of a room and talking. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, lots of speakers are introverts. I used to own a speakers bureau, so I know a lot of speakers, and many of them are introverts. They just become expressive when they get on stage. Yeah, that's how they get a lot of their ideas and their creativity and their messages from.
Right, and that I've learned that since I've started sharing that I'm more of an introvert, and other speakers will say, me too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So I knew that part of me, but the verbal part, though, I was actually told in a past life I was a messenger in Atlantis. And I thought, maybe that's why, or a storyteller, okay. Messenger. So I thought, maybe that's why I always feel like I need to share what I've learned. I'm always thinking how I can share it with other people. I don't mean to do that. It's just automatic. But what's really amazing to me here is that math, logical one. I would not have chose it for myself, but I see patterns in numbers all the time. Yeah. And my husband, I drive him crazy, even watching a hockey game. Because I'll say, oh, look, 333. Oh, there's 444, 47. And I just notice these patterns, and I'm given patterns. That's how I think the angels talk to me. It's through numbers. So,
yeah.
Amazing. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've kind of touched then on the idea that if parents really tune in to these wisdom gifts of their child, if they know their own and their child's, they can use that to their child's advantage. Is there something else you'd like to add to that?
Well, it's really important to recognize them before the child turns five, because research shows clearly that character is built in the first 5 years. So when parents poo-poo the child, you're singing too much, you're making too much noise, banging on that drum, or you're talking too much, or you're moving around too much, and they thwart what comes naturally, they begin to develop a child who is not authentic and who does not accept their own authenticity. And that, because it gets worse when they get into school, because like in the preschool years, I used to direct preschool programs, children come in and they can go to any area they want to. They can go free play. They can go in the jungle gym. They can go in the music area. They can go finger paint, whatever, and go to the bathroom whenever you need to. And then kindergarten and first grade, it's no, stand in line, raise your hand, hold it until I tell you you can go.
Right.
And we get caught in those cubicles that often we stay in all of our lives. I met so many people who wanted to be speakers who come to me after spending 20, 30 years in corporate and tell me they've lost themselves. They could not find themselves because they were doing this job and being someone else, as opposed to approaching life being who they are. But most of them approach it, many people approach life from the money they can make versus the happiness they can have doing what they love.
Right.
So helping your children understand what they love and doing that is phenomenal. Let me give you one example from an Olympic star that I saw on TV several years ago. I don't remember his name. He was a gymnast. But they told a story about when this child was about six, the parents had them in a department store. And they looked around after a minute, and then they could not find their son. They looked everywhere. Then finally they found him. He had found somewhere to climb to the ceiling of this department store. And most of us would have said, get yourself down here, right? And these parents, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't say that, but what they recognize is, you know, my child loves to climb. Mm-hmm. What can I do to help this child with this gift and this desire that this child obviously has? And the child later ended up winning a gold medal.
Look at that, hey?
Yeah. So that's what all of our children can do if we help them.
Well, exactly. So I'm wondering, you know, looking at it from the perspective of the vibrant, powerful mom.
Yes.
Let's just use, say, the verbal, because I think we can relate to that too. Our own parents often told us, you need to sit and be quiet. It's respectful to be quiet. You have to sit in church. You have to sit in school. You have to sit everywhere and you're supposed to be quiet. And so how does a parent help their child to still express these verbal needs without shutting them down?
Well, you know, my view of parenting is that one of our primary roles is to socialize the child into the earth planet environment.
Right.
And so that means helping them to be themselves and understand what's expected of them. So at certain times, you do have to sit and be quiet, like when you're at church. But let me give you a time to express yourself. Let me give you an hour a day. Let me give us 2 hours a weekend so that we can express ourselves together. Let me give a chance for me to watch how you express yourself so I learn who you are. Mm-hmm. So you can teach children, because we all have to compartmentalize and structure our lives around the things we need to do. So some things you need to do in a quiet, serene environment, and some things you can do just as loud and crazy as you want to. So understanding the socializing them into those parameters so that they can make wise decisions and still be themselves within those parameters, that's how you help them.
Nice. Love it. Because it is so important. And I do talk about this sometimes on my show about the idea that our kids do need structure and they do need boundaries. And you're not being cruel by enforcing those.
Right.
You just want to recognize that can't be all that they have. They also need time for free play, to run around, to be crazy, to yell, to scream, to, you know, to use their imagination. And the more we open ourselves to that while still recognizing that we have to create that structure, the easier it becomes,
right?
Because then they know the rules or they know what works for you.
Right.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I used to use with my kids a lot. I used to say to them that I have trouble being around you when you're talking that loudly and I'm trying to listen to my friend talk or whatever.
Right.
And just so that they understood that social connection, that the way I'm behaving is affecting someone else.
Right.
But I didn't ever turn to them and say, okay, enough of that. Sit down and be quiet.
Right. Although you may have wanted to, huh?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, maybe I shouldn't say never. I tried very hard not to.
Yeah, well, you know, we get so hung up on raising our children to be financially successful.
Exactly.
But the truly happy children are the ones who are happy within themselves. They know who they are. And when you know who you are, then you're prepared for whatever it is you were brought to the planet for. Because when you raise a child towards a job, the reality is that they say 74% of the jobs that these young children today will have not even been created yet.
Exactly.
So you can't raise them to a job. You can raise them to who it is they are to be.
Yes, absolutely. I absolutely love this. I love this conversation. And I do think that it is so important, not for moms to feel like, oh no, I've been doing it wrong. You know, I haven't
no, please.
Guiding my child. It's about opening our minds to this kind of information and saying, okay, so how do I help my child to recognize their own authentic nature? And at the same time, for me to recognize mine, and how do I make this work? Like it's all about making the journey more exciting rather than saying you've been doing it wrong.
Yes, right? Yes, it's not wrong. It's just enabled to, I'm hoping parents will just tweak something that they're doing to create a better life for them. Because actually when you raise your children to their gifts, parenting then is easier as well. Parents
Absolutely.
Can be more powerful and vibrant. Yes, you're not fighting against, you're working with.
Yes, it's like I used to go over to my neighbors with their goat and the goat used to want to butt against my leg. And he figured out that if I just held on to his horns but moved with him, the goat would be tired of it and would move away. But if I pushed against him, he would go on, and I would end up with a big bruise on my leg.
I guess so.
You figure out. Go with the goat.
Who would think you'd have a budding goat? That's interesting.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really like the goat, but I've come up with it. So.
And let me just mention one more thing right quick, and that is don't rush your children to read. Because, you know, you hear so much about reading the womb. No, let them be children while they can be children. They have plenty of time to be adults and to do the things that adults do. Allow them to be themselves.
Yes, I love that too. I'm always saying, enjoy. If you like to read and your child loves to sit on your lap and point out pictures in the book or talk about the book like my youngest did, then enjoy the books. But don't feel like this is school and you should be saying to them, so what's this word? Come on, you know this word. You know, turning it into yet another teaching opportunity.
Right.
Yeah, we learn so much more easily other ways. So
yes, indeed.
So we are at the end of our time. My gosh, this went quickly. But,
sure it did. My goodness. When you do what you love, time flies.
It does. So thank you so much for making time in your busy schedule to share with our VPM audience. There was a lot of wisdom shared here today. So I'd really like to encourage our listeners to come back and listen a few times and then see what different little gems you pick up from it.
And may I give them a free gift?
You can. I was just going to say, Norma, would you like to share something?
Yes, I would. Yes. I would like to invite your listeners to take the authenticity assessment. It is 30 questions online, complimentary, that will help you to understand yourself more and understand what I call the 9 dimensions of authenticity. And when you complete the assessment, you'll have an opportunity to indicate your interest in children. And we'll be sending you some information to help you learn even more about these children and children's spirituality.
Nice.
And that's at, you can go to BeRealTest.com. That's BeRealTest.com.
Okay, I will make sure to list that so that people can easily get it. Wonderful. And you also have a couple of other websites. Would you like to share those as well? Or
I do. NormaTHollis.com. That's a new website I'm doing. That's my coaching website. And normaspeaks.com is my speaking website where you'll also find information and a couple of videos about raising authentic children. So
awesome.
That's normathollis.com and normaspeaks.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you once again, Norma. And thank you so much to all of our listeners. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Norma Hollis, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.